The opinions expressed on this show do not necessarily represent the views of Clear Channel Radio, nor should they be regarded as legal or investment advice. Seek qualified counsel before acting on any views expressed in this show.
This is Investor IQ with Glenn Wessel, where you hear straight talk about financial topics that impact you. Got a tax, financial, or investment question? As a CPA and holder of the Certified Financial Planner and Chartered Financial Analyst credentials, Glenn Wessel's the guy to ask. Now, here's Glenn.
And a very good morning to all of you. My name is Glenn Wessel, host of Investor IQ. And once again, I'm here with Rob Simon, who's an analyst with our firm. Good morning, Rob.
Good morning.
And Agnes, of course, is with us swirling the knobs around. Hello, Agnes.
Hello. Good morning.
Well, I'm glad that you're joining us this morning. We have a treat for you. We're going to be discussing a little bit later on some of the pearls of wisdom of one of the all-time greatest investors in the history of the world. In fact, he was considered to be the greatest money manager in the 20th century. That would be Warren Buffett. But before we get to that, I'm going to make one brief comment about a discussion that we had some months back about exchange-traded funds. If you were tuned into that show, you would have learned that we tend to favor exchange-traded funds over the more traditional mutual funds for a number of reasons, one of which has to do with their tax efficiency. At the end of the year, most mutual funds will make capital gain distributions, not because it's a profit event. It's just because they have to disperse an amount so that the Treasury and the IRS can keep track of it for tax filing purposes to make sure that people pay their taxes. So during this week, what we received from one particular sponsor of exchange-traded funds was a memorandum saying that of 117 different funds that that sponsor has, which happens to be PowerShare, that's not really relevant, only one was forced to make a taxable distribution, which means that for 116 of those funds, with respect to capital gains, their investors are being treated as if they're tax-deferred, which is a wonderful record. Going back to, I think it's 2003, since PowerShares began business, that is the first distribution, the capital gains distribution, any fund that they offer has ever been forced to make. So there is quite a tax advantage that could accrue to an investor who favors an exchange-traded fund over the more traditional mutual fund. So I think with that, we're gonna kind of delve into Warren Buffett. Is that sound good, Rob?
Sounds good to me.
All right. So Warren Buffett, for those of you who do not know the man, of course, he's been the chairman of Berkshire Hathaway, but he came up through the ranks as a security salesman, a securities analyst. He became enamored with a fellow by the name of Benjamin Graham, who wrote an all-time classic, and it's a cornerstone of the investment industry. It's required reading for any securities analyst, any portfolio manager. The book was called The Intelligent Investor, and it is the centerpiece of what we regard to be the value investing style, where you're looking for good value at some price. So Warren Buffett is squarely in that camp, and he's been tremendously successful. He was considered to be the richest person in the world, I think, in 2008. I think he had a net worth of around $60 billion or $62 billion.
Right.
Is that right? And I think Bill Gates is once again ahead of him, but only because I think Warren maybe gave more money away than Bill.
Is that something like Warren that? Gave more to charity than Bill did.
Right. So Warren's winning again, actually, if you look at it on the other side of the coin. So he's considered to be the oracle of Omaha. He has offices out in Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska, which probably not by chance is kind of removed from the noise of New York and Manhattan and the money center institutions where frenzied stories and opinions are floating around. I think it's no mistake that he's out there in the cornfields where he can think more clearly. So we try to emulate Warren Buffett's thinking to the extent that we can, regarding the fact that we understand that we're lesser individuals and it's tough to become a Warren Buffett. But the pearls of wisdom that he has, I think would be worth listening to or considering for anybody who is an investor. So we have, with that, a series of quotes that we're just going to delve into, set up the quote, and talk about what it might mean to you as an investor. And I guess I'll just lead off with the first quote. This would be a lesson to those of you who are day traders or who are considering becoming day traders. Here's the quote. Much success can be attributed to inactivity. Most investors cannot resist the temptation to constantly buy and sell. So the lesson there is probably don't confuse activity with useful strategy or something that will further your interests. Activity by itself is useless, and if it's just activity by itself, it's probably not going to do anything more than to increase the expenses associated with your portfolio. One quick parable before we get onto the next quote. Oftentimes, when investors are very active in the market, what we find historically is that their dollar-weighted returns, after considering their market timing moves, are less than the time-weighted returns that are actually reported by pension funds and mutual funds. There's no other way to interpret that other than investors as a whole have a bad sense of timing. They tend to get in at market tops. They tend to get out at market bottoms. So, Rob, you have the next quote. I'll set that up for you. With respect to emotion, the emotional tenor of the moment, we try to encourage our clients to allow us to focus on change, not the feeling that's pervasive at the moment, but how the situation might be changing. So why don't you unleash a few of his nuggets for us, Rob?
One of his quotes is, I will tell you how to become rich. Close the doors. Be fearful when others are greedy. Be greedy when others are fearful.
That's right.
I think that relates back to what you were saying about him being out there in Omaha in the cornfields, you know, so that he doesn't get too much of the market sentiment in his blood.
That's right. And there's a related quote to that. It is our job to help clients be fearful when others are greedy and to look at opportunities when others are fearful. I think he's got a couple more here on the same vein.
Yeah, another related quote to that is the fact that people will be full of greed, fear, or folly is predictable. However, the sequence is not predictable.
That's right. We know that they're going to be wigged out emotionally from time to time. We just don't happen to know when that is. Buffett one time said, view Mr. Market as having a disorder and being in a manic, depressive state, and take advantage of this state of disorder. So that's what we try to counsel our clients to allow us to do from time to time. Peter Lynch is an all-time successful investor, too. He managed Fidelity's Magellan Fund. And we're going to delve into a couple of comments that Peter Lynch came up with right after we return from this break. I'm Glenn. He's Rob. We'll be back in just a moment. This is Investor IQ.